Okay, welcome to the special education class. First off, I'd kind of like to know who's in here. Teachers, parents. So how many of you are teachers? Most of you. And parents. Okay, so I just kind of want to know who I'm talking to. So this handout I gave you is only about the first part of the class. And after that, I have a few items here that we'll just talk about, things that I use or don't use in class. And I'll also let you talk at that point, too. If you have things to add, you'll get to talk also. So, and also I'm speaking from my experience, so it might be different from yours, and that's another thing. If we have some open discussion at the end, you can give your thoughts and your views. So, for the first part of the class, I have a ladder. Ladder of learning. Where does a ladder begin? When you climb a ladder, where is your starting point? You do not begin on the ladder itself, but you start from the ground. You step up from the ground onto the first step. So the ground is important, and it must be a solid surface on which the ladder can rest. The ladder should be sturdy. So that's where our ladder illustration will begin, on the ground, and we'll move up from there. And the ladder has 10 rungs. Two words for each rung. So I'll be giving simple definitions for each word as we move up the ladder. So before I talk about what's on each rung, I will give the definition for the words. And this is one thing I do a lot in my classroom. If we have a word we don't know or a fact that we want to know about, we look it up. Use the dictionary. So we can accurately know the meaning of words. So the first rung, I have acceptance and love. So accept is to give admittance or approval to. And love is unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another. So our students should feel our acceptance of them from the very start. When they come to us, we may be meeting them for the first time. We may not know them, or we may know them well. We may go to church with them. So when they enter our classroom, they come as they are. They may be friendly, or they may be overbearing or shy. So as teachers, we need to just welcome them, make them feel wanted, comfortable, safe. But do we actually love our students when they first enter our classroom? If we're real and honest, sometimes we don't really like them very much. they might have rumpled clothes, runny noses. They might challenge our authority all day long. They may refuse to stop talking. They might be sly. Or they might just be embarrassed, they might be hurting, and they might not even like you, their teacher. So on the other hand, they can be bubbly, sweet, friendly, very likable. So it's our job to teach them, and we must learn to love them. So we must never discriminate against a child because of their struggles with schoolwork, behavior problems, reputation they might have, or their family or their church. So can we be Christ-like in our acceptance of a struggling child? Can we have patience with their struggles? Can we love them even before they've learned to behave? Can we just accept them as they are before they show improvement? So another way to look at acceptance, accept their limitations, handicaps, disabilities. You will probably not find a way to miraculously heal them, make them normal, or make their issues go away. You cannot imagine their problems away. Don't try to change reality. Just encourage them, but don't give them false hope. Help the student accept themselves. Few things hurt a child more than adults trying to find excuses to sidestep the reality of their existence. So it's important that we accept them. So moving up to the next rung, boundaries and authority. A boundary is something that indicates or fixes a limit or extent. Authority is a power to influence or command thought, opinion, or behavior. Special ed needs students need boundaries. They need the security of knowing the rules will not change every other day or at the whims of their teacher. They need to know obedience is expected of them. We are all born with a sin nature, and most everyone can learn to obey. And need to learn it. We do a great disservice to special needs children when we continually say, "Oh, that's cute, that's precious, and you are so funny," instead of teaching them to obey. Students need to understand that you, the teacher, are an authority in their life. And you, as a teacher, need to understand that. Like the centurion in the Bible, I like to think of him as teachers, any teachers. We are in authority and we are under authority. So we put our hearts into teaching our students. We need to remember to honor the parents and the school board. Okay, the next rung, trust and respect. Trust is assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. Respect is a high or special regard or esteem. Building trust takes time and consistency. It requires genuine trustworthiness on your part. So we need to be honest with our students, not trick them or try to scam them into something. If you do change your mind on a rule or procedure, talk to your student about it. Tell them about it, especially a student that's struggling. Give them a heads up on what's changing. If you told them an incorrect fact, make it right once you discover it. Go back and tell them, "I had the wrong definition of this word." Tell them. It does matter, whatever their mental capacity is. And it matters for you, for your own integrity. Respect. A student must respect your authority. You must respect your student as a person with feelings and needs. Once again, no matter what their disability or handicap may be. Also, your student must be taught to respect other students and their property as much as possible. If you share your students with another teacher, as I do in my classroom, they spend most of their time in a regular classroom and come to me. Make sure you highly respect their other teacher. Never talk them down or try to never question what they do in front of the student. Okay, number 4, routine and schedule. Routine is a regular course of procedure, or it is a habitual or mechanical performance of an established procedure. A schedule is a procedural plan that indicates the time and sequence of each operation. So a routine brings order effortlessly once established. And it can calm the anxious or high-strung student. They know what to expect. They don't have to guess or worry about what's coming. And that creates a peaceful atmosphere. But don't be afraid to change a routine if you need to. Just make sure to explain it to the student. I like to have a small routine when they come into my classroom from another classroom. It might be a page in a workbook, a little visit, or a story, just a little bit to give them a little downtime. But if it's routine, then it's not just a bunch of fun and games. It's something they can expect. A schedule can be hard to make and keep in a special ed classroom. There are so many variables, especially if, like me, you share your students. Sometimes what happens in the other classroom affects your classroom. But have an overall plan and try to stick to it. Just look at your calendar periodically and make sure you're staying on track, not just kind of coasting through the school year. If your student sits in another classroom, once again, for part of the day, like I just said, sometimes you just have to give up to their schedule. Maybe the other classroom will have extra recess or some other special activity. I like to defer to that as much as possible, even if it ruins my schedule, because those students are singled out enough as it is. So if they can just be part of the classroom, that's good. That's a good thing. Okay, moving up. Learn and teach. Learn is to gain knowledge or understanding of or skill in by study, instruction, or experience. Teach. I actually have quite a few definitions of the word teach. The first one is to cause to know something. To cause to know how. To accustom to some action or attitude, such as in teaching students to think for themselves. Another definition is to guide the studies of, to impart the knowledge of, to instruct by precept, example, or experience, or to conduct instruction regularly in, as teach school. Each one of these definitions for the word teach makes a lot of sense. So no wonder teaching can seem so complicated. There are so many different aspects of it. But I think that's partly what makes it so rewarding. So as you teach, don't forget to learn. Learn about more about the subjects you teach. Learn more about the conditions your student has. And also, learn and actually study your student. What do they know? What are they capable of learning? How do they learn best? What are they interested in? Okay, the next step is patience and focus. Patient means steadfast despite opposition, difficulty, or adversity. Focus is directed attention. So every teacher needs patience. And working with special needs can stretch your patience to lengths you never thought possible. Sometimes you use up every speck of patience you ever had, you thought, only to find you need a lot more. But hang in there. You will reap the rewards for your patience sometime. So special education is like that, lots of slow learning and relearning. So just relax a little. This is what you signed up for when you signed up for special education. So take care not to frustrate your student or yourself. That can really set you back. Back off before you or they become too frustrated. try a different tactic or come back another day. And focus. Remember what your goals are. Remember the job you are asked to do and stick at it. Okay, number 7, example and work ethic. So an example, one that serves as a pattern to be imitated or not to be imitated. Work ethic, a set of values centered on the importance of doing work and reflected especially in a desire or determination to work hard. So be the example of a good work ethic. Students will pick up a lot from you. Students in special education sometimes are even more discerning of your moods, your likes and dislikes. They pick up a lot of that kind of stuff. Students in special education are like everyone else in their work ethics. Some are very good, and some have very poor work ethics. But either way, learning things can be very difficult. So some of my students have dyslexia, so as an example, I've been very honest with mine. Usually we have to come to a point where we just have to talk about it. Learning to read will be hard. You will have to work harder than most people do to learn to read. That's okay. And that's acceptance. They need to accept that. And we need to accept that. But point out the things they actually do easily or well. Maybe playing sports, singing, mechanics, whatever else they can do well. Okay, number 8. Read and sing. Read, to utter aloud the printed or written words of. Sing, to produce musical tones by means of the voice. So I teach quite a bit of reading. And the curriculum I usually teach from takes the rules and breaks them down into mini bites and then expands on them. So some students will learn to read well and others always struggle. There again, acceptance. So even though students might struggle to read, I want them to think of books as good things. Friends, if they can. If they can't read words, they can still look at books with pictures. Or someone can read to them. Or they can listen to audiobooks. Sometimes your student or their parents may not have thought of some of that stuff. So I read to my students when I can. Why would I take the time for that? There are lots of reasons. I choose my books carefully. When we begin a book, we discuss where and when the book took place, what its place was in history, and as we read, lessons we can learn from it. The students are always allowed to interrupt in this case and ask if they don't understand a word or a situation, then we can stop and talk about it. That might not work in a regular classroom, I don't know, but when you just have one or two, they can do that. So what this builds their vocabulary and teaches some history, geography, gives them more awareness of the world in general. Students who aren't reading much for themselves miss a lot of these things. They just generally have a smaller vocabulary. And also, at least in some of them, it will build their desire to read. They know that good things come out of books. And then, so they're more willing to pick one up themselves. And it's hard to be upset with a student when you're reading to them. Reading them a good story. it's good for your relationship. And we sing a little bit sometimes. We've sung at programs, my classroom, all of us together. Takes us out of our comfort zone somewhat. But it's their time to shine. And one of my students is a really good singer. So it's a time he can do something well. And sometimes I've helped a student pick songs that he had to lead in the other classroom. So my classroom was a safe place for him where he could pick his song, practice it a little bit, and just gave him a little more confidence. So my students have various abilities, from students who can hardly sing to one who surprised me that he could carry a part by himself. I had no idea, even though I thought I knew him well. And there's one who sings beautifully. So he struggles with reading, but he can sing. Okay, number 9, atmosphere and dynamics. Atmosphere is a surrounding influence or environment. Dynamics is a pattern or process of change. How is the atmosphere in a classroom important to students with special needs or learning disabilities? They're often more sensitive than others to the atmosphere. Chaos or stress, general silliness. They easily become anxious, get distracted, intimidated, or depressed. So maintain a relaxed and orderly classroom. Make it interesting, but keep it a safe place for them. Think about the comfort of your student. How is the lighting? Is it okay? Is it too bright? Is it bothering them in some way? Room temperature. Keep it not too warm, not too cold. How about where they sit? Is that comfortable? Do they need drinks or bathroom breaks? So there is a wide variation in the dynamics of different types of classrooms. In a regular classroom, or if you teach a child one-on-one all day, or one-on-one if they come on a schedule, or maybe you have two or three students. So there are certain dynamics in a classroom with one teacher and one student. When just one more person walks through the door, the dynamics and atmosphere change tremendously. So students who move between a regular and special ed classroom experience this. So this is one reason I give them a couple minutes of downtime, so they can adjust. So atmosphere matters, and relationships matter. By last school year, three of my teenage students had grown taller than me. The dynamics changed from when they were younger. So I had to keep my place in authority while also respecting the fact that they were rapidly becoming young men. So the atmosphere changed, but the classroom was still kept a calm and safe place for them. Number 10, growth and future. Growth is increase or expansion. Future, time yet to come. We expect to see our students grow. We may have to sit back and let them grow at their own pace at times. We may have to strongly encourage them. Sometimes students surprise us by growing in ways we didn't imagine possible, maybe academically and maybe socially. So as teachers, we should not let our preconceived notions hinder our students' education. What they're able to learn, let them learn. So we are teaching them today, but preparing them for tomorrow. The future, we can prepare for it, but we can't control it. What will our students be in the future? Will they be capable of holding a job? Will they stay at home all day? Will they get married? Will they be a preacher? A farmer? So, thoughts about the future were recently put into a new perspective for me. Last spring, while driving in the mountains, two of my students were in an accident that could have easily taken their lives, but God protected them. So they could have died young, You know, just one of them was just out of school, and one's still a student. So it caused me to think about my role in their lives as a teacher. Because we prepare them for life, but sooner or later, they will enter eternity. So be faithful as you teach today, because we don't know how soon they might go. So one more thing, in preparing students for life, I want to give them tools and not crutches. I want to give them the things they can use, not something that they have to rely on all the time. I want them to find their way through challenging situations and to be humble enough to ask for help when they need it. So, but only the individual themselves can choose how they will meet a challenge. So, as an example, a student of mine was asked to have devotions. He was not at home. He was away from home. And he cannot read well. But he did go ahead with the devotions, but asked a friend to read the scripture for him. So that was a way of doing what he could. I was very happy to hear that. That's what I want to see my students doing. That's the kind of thing I want to see them doing. Okay, number 11, specialty and inspiration. So I have definitions for the words specialty and special. Specialty is a state of being special, distinctive, or peculiar. Special means to be held in particular esteem. And then I have definitions for inspiration and inspire. Inspiration is the action or power of moving the intellect or emotion. Inspire means to exert an animating, enlivening, or exalting influence. How special are students with special needs? As we watch them try hard on so many levels, and as we experience unconditional love from them and enjoy their outlook on life, they are pretty special. They really are. But are they more special than other students? They are not, although they often require extra attention and help. At the same time, other students need to be taught to treat them with kindness and patience. I have a book written by a man named Rob J. Quinn. He says in his book that he is a regular guy living with cerebral palsy. So I just want to share with you the title of the book. It is called, I'm Not Here to Inspire You. So this is a perspective from someone living the life of someone with cerebral palsy. So while we may feel inspired and challenged by watching someone with a handicap fight hard against the odds, our feelings are not the reason for the state of their existence. And there are plenty of people in the world who are not handicapped in any way, who also fight daily for things they need. Food, shelter, security, lots of things. So what makes you and me so important that someone would have physical or mental limitations for the express purpose of inspiring us? The thing that causes us to feel inspired is the very thing that causes them pain. It's their reality, their life. So we should never have an attitude like this. Seeing you struggle to walk really brightened my day. It's not easy for them. So be kind, be humble, be encouraging, and be a true friend to them. And remember, true friendship goes both ways. You be a friend, you will gain a friend. So I have a couple Bible verses, what God has to say about this. Exodus 4:11. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or maketh the dumb and deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? And 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Okay, and that concludes this part of the talk. So now I just pulled different things from here and there to show you just different items and objects that can be helpful in teaching or helpful for the student. Some of them work for me and some of them actually do not work for me and my students. But we can talk about them anyhow. The reason I have them is because they worked for somebody. So, let's see. And at this point, if anyone has anything to say, speak up. So, I think the first thing I'll show you is this. Is anyone familiar with these? So, what do you call them? A window seat?
Yeah.
Okay. This one is a little flat, and I couldn't find the ball pump. So, so these help a student who can't hold still. Basically, you have to wiggle to sit still. You're always moving to keep your balance. So you're always... my students do not enjoy this very much, so we haven't used it a lot. I think I like it better than they do. And here's another one. Someone just gave this to me last year. I don't really like it. It's slanted, but if you want to look at these, or if anyone wants to sit on them, feel free. Do you want
it? I think I need one.
Kind of flat. Oh, and you don't need to sit on it like this. That looks more comfortable.
Did any of them use one? What did you think?
Did you like it?
I didn't use it in my classrooms. My co-teachers did. They liked it a lot because it made, at least some of them did.
Yeah.
Some of them, the students mm-hmm. hated it. But others, it just, like, sometimes the student just can't hold still long enough to work.
Yeah.
And this way they could keep working and it didn't cause a distraction because they were hardly moving, but they were, they thought they were.
Mm-hmm. That's how they should work. But some people can't handle, I don't know what it is, the balance maybe. I know one lady sat on that one time and she almost fell over. So, I think it's a thing that some people like them and some people don't. And but they can be a very good thing for some students.
Where do you find things?
I don't remember where I found it.
I got some of mine at Target. It's an exercise.
Yeah, it can. Mm-hmm. They're sold in education and exercising. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And here's something I have not really used a lot. It's a weighted blanket. They were actually created for people with autism. But you don't have to... Anybody can like... I like it. I tried it out a few times. I think this one is filled with glass beads. They're made so they don't make you overheat, but they are heavy. This one is only 12 and a half pounds, I think. I found this one at Target, I think. But you can get blankets that weigh 20 or 25 pounds. And, yeah, some people really love them. I don't really use this in my classroom a lot.
What's the purpose of it?
Well, someone with autism, or it can be just a restless person. It calms you and you hold still more. And you can sleep with them.
Like you lay across your lap or what?
Yeah. So in my classroom, like, we're not, you know, laying down and taking naps all the time. But I wanted to try it on one of my students. That's why I have it. But, yes, you can sleep with them. And yeah, I don't mind if you want to feel it.
audio, just to show you. I talked about that. Finding good audio books. These are old tapes. So but my students love this story. So quite a wide variety of people would love that story. Timers can be good. They can be distracting. Kind of depends on how you use them, if you make them feel uptight about it, or if you use it as a help. And I have a little notebook here. Nothing special about this notebook, but one of my students couldn't talk very well. And every day, his mom and I, and the teacher before me, also did this. We set this back and forth in this boy's lunch pail. And we could write in it if something big happened, if something exciting happened to them the night before, maybe they saw an accident, something that would really cause him to lose focus the next day. She could write. She could write it in here. Then I would know what he was trying to tell me. Or she could just simply say, well, he got to bed late. Or I'm not sure if he feels good this morning. And then I could also write back and forth. Well, this happened at school, or he feels this way. And very good communication. It took a little bit of effort to actually get it done, but usually it was just a page or two, so not much writing. But just enough to took away a lot of the frustration of not knowing what he was trying to say. So, there's that. And I have this book in my classroom, Talk to the Deaf. A lady in our church gave classes a while ago. That's why I have this book. But I did use a little bit of sign language with the same boy. Just a little bit. Now I wonder if I could have used more. But we did use that some, even with the ABCs, and I knew for sure what he was telling me. And almost running out of time. I'll try to hurry. Handwriting. I used this book a little bit last year, Handwriting Without Tears. I know some of you, are you familiar with this?
Mm-hmm.
For some students, it can take away a lot of the frustration of writing. It's a little different font. This is what the cursive looks like. So it's just a little bit different. And there again, for some students love it. I had a student that it made no sense to him. So you never know. This one of my students, social skills. It's just a lot of pictures of real people in a certain school that the author took pictures of. And if you have someone who socially just doesn't get it, this book, it has a lot. It tells you the right and the wrong way to respond to a situation. It has a lot of good things in it. And
do you mind telling me the author of that book?
Jed Baker. And this is for older students, and there is one for younger students, I think.
Okay.
And okay, I have some Vibarton reading stuff here. How many of you are familiar with? I know of quite a few of you are. I'll just maybe show just briefly. Here's the first level. It comes in 10 levels. I just read the books here. They're not all this skinny. like this book, level 8. I don't think we'll have time to really go over it much.
But with each level, you get a CD to listen to, and everything's written out in it. You can basically teach right from the book. It's a very well-researched program, and it's suitable for our schools because most people can pick it up and teach it. You don't have to go find a trained tutor somewhere else. It's one of the few programs that are well-researched and well-documented. And, well, this just reminds me of light sensitivity. I mentioned light a little bit. They would give you blue papers in case your students are sensitive to the bright white of a paper. And there again, you might want to check your classroom lighting. Also, vision. Make sure your students have had their eyes checked and their ears. Sometimes you just want to let that go. I mean, you're kind of at the mercy of the parents, too. But sometimes vision is part of the problem. Maybe they have dyslexia, but maybe they also have a vision problem. So vision should always be checked if there's a reading problem. And flashcards. Use flashcards with special needs students. Sometimes I've heard not to, but some of my students do like them. And there again, you can maybe only pick out a few. You can use them a lot. You can use different kinds. Like, these are about the states. This is multiplication and division. And back to handwriting. One of my students likes these. I don't remember where I found them, but they're just a little bit thicker. And they have thicker lead in them, too. And they're just enough thicker that he really likes them. They're not really thick. And these are, there's this one thing I tried with one of my students, and he said no, he hates them. And well, I can see why. I kind of hate them, too. So I ended up actually wrapping duct tape around the pencil, and he liked that. So, and fidget toys. If you have a student that like needs to fidget, give them things to fidget with. Certain things. And our time is up. So if you want to continue looking at these, that's okay. And thank you for coming to class. And enjoy the rest of your day.